The economy, as expressed by the Democratic Party's nominee for president last night. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Hillary Clinton has now formally accepted her party's nomination for president, and during her keynote last night, the accent was on unity, drawing Americans together to solve problems, problems that include a key component of the well-being of Americans, the economy. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams has been part of our team in Philadelphia covering the convention this week. Good morning, Kimberly.
Good morning, David.
So last week we heard Donald Trump painting this dark picture of the United States. It included the state of the economy. Among his points, that household incomes are down more than $4,000 since the year 2000, if it's median per year. How does Hillary Clinton see the economy?
First, she gave credit to the Obama administration for bringing the economy out of the recession, but she acknowledged that not everyone is feeling the recovery.
We're still facing deep-seated problems that developed long before the recession and have stayed with us through the recovery. I've gone around the country talking to working families, and I've heard from many who feel like the economy sure isn't working for them. Some of you are frustrated, even furious. And you know what? You're right.
Clinton said if elected, she would focus on better jobs and more economic benefits for the middle class. But it was more of a speech about ideas rather than specific policy proposal. One proposal was that she said she would push for a major jobs package within her first 100 days if she's elected.
And the economy was also embedded in some of Hillary Clinton's rhetorical zaps aimed at Donald Trump last night.
Yeah, at one point in the speech, she listed some of the places where Trump products are made in India, China, Turkey. This is something the campaign has been doing for a while, but she had one particular zinger that got a lot of laughs in this very anti-Trump crowd. Have a listen.
Donald Trump says he wants to make America great again. Well, he could start by actually making things in America again.
She also contrasted herself with Donald Trump on immigration, speaking about the economic contributions of undocumented workers and promising a path to citizenship.
Trump, for his part, said Clinton's vision last night for the world is borderless and that working people will have, quote, no power, no jobs, no safety. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams in Philadelphia, thank you.
Thank you, David.
Let's check the markets. The FTSE in London is down 0.1%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down. The Dow future down 24 points, 0.1% there. Oil got a lot cheaper this week. We've been tracking it. It's down another 0.9% right now, under $41 a barrel in New York. A team from the International Monetary Fund is expected to arrive in Egypt shortly for talks tomorrow to finalize a multi-billion dollar loan. Accelerated by more than 6 years of political shocks, Egypt's economy is in dire straits, Marketplace's Andy Euler reports.
Since the 2011 revolution that toppled the Mubarak regime, Egypt has been racked by political and economic turmoil. Tourism is way down. Foreign investment is minimal, and the expansion of the Suez Canal hasn't brought the expected revenue. Stephen Cook is a senior fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations. He says add to that low oil prices and
the Saudis and the Emiratis, who've been the primary patrons, just don't have the cash to keep the Egyptians afloat.
One major issue is getting a handle on the Egyptian currency. Officially, the exchange rate is between 8 and 9 pounds to the dollar. On the black market, it's closer to 13. Meg Lunsager is the former U.S. executive director at the IMF. She says the Egyptian government knows it needs to let the exchange rate move up, but it's reluctant.
Because then the cost of imports will go up. And so if it hits consumers, of course, that'll be very sensitive as well.
She says Egypt will have to show that it's already implemented demands made by the IMF before it actually gets any money. I'm Andy Euler from Marketplace.
Now to what starts as an oxymoron from the travel industry, traveling far to stay local. In Mexico, the small coastal town of Todos Santos is just 50 miles north of the fancy hotels and gated resorts in Cabo San Lucas, same glittering turquoise Pacific coastline, fewer golf courses. And construction is underway on a mega resort called Tres Santos that bills itself as local-friendly. But the mix has not been easy. Reporter Nina Feldman checked it out for us.
The promo video for Tres Santos sells a free-range, locally sourced lifestyle. Bronze-skinned yogis salute the sun at the water's edge. Families sample fresh tomatoes off the vine. Shannon Gillespie is the company's sales executive.
our whole goal is for people to try to really have an authentic experience. And so we're going to do something that kind of blends in with the community.
Funded by Colorado's Black Creek Group, Tres Santos has permits to build more than 4,000 new homes. So far, a handful of houses are for sale in the $200,000 to $400,000 range. Down at the town beach, a 32-room boutique hotel is under construction. But it's practically on top of the area where the town's fishermen have been working for generations. Twice now, members of one fishing cooperative have blocked the road to the beach to protest the project. Tres Santos says it wants the fishermen to stay. But protest organizers like activist Ricardo Madrazo are skeptical.
I think they envision that instead of the 40 or 50 boats that are operating right now, maybe they'll just have four or five, you know, and they can show some of the visitors how we catch this fish, or we'll take you out and you snorkel with the sea lions.
John Moreno is the fisherman's lawyer. He says he's not opposed to progress, but that in a town of 5,000 people where it's hot and dry, it's a matter of scale.
It's going to give us triple the amount of our target population for Todos Santos within 25 years. That's going to put enormous amounts of stress on our natural resources, primarily water.
Moreno hopes a pending environmental review will thwart construction, and Tres Santos has filed a lawsuit against its opponents. In Todos Santos, Mexico, I'm Nina Feldman for Marketplace.
Our digital producer is Janet Wynn. Stephanie Hughes produces Marketplace Tech. This is the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.